thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst. We enter into your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. We recognize that, Lord God, we cannot do this by ourselves. Therefore, we come to ask you to help us by giving me fresh unction and anointing, giving us fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that I would speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that God, I will do it with precision. I will redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue our study this morning in God's Word. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and in our last lesson we actually ended chapter 1 at last. It took us quite a bit of time. The Word of God is a pregnant document. It's full of life, and the Holy Spirit keeps revealing fresh and new things to us as we read and study His Word. And in our last lesson, we ended in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 1, where Paul, well, really from verse 23, he said, we've been born again, not of corruptible seed or sperm, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so he tells us that the word of God is an active, alive agent that contains actually the life of God. And it is that life that this word has made available to us. And he contrasts it with natural physical things. He said, you know, the grass will fade away, you know, the grass will wither, the flower will fall away, but the word of God endures forever. And this is very important. He said, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, by giving us his word, God has made available to us eternal life. The Bible says the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So that word gives us access to the life of God, you know, and that eternal power that God has. In particular, you know, Jesus said in one place, he said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. The only things that are really permanent are the things that God decrees to be permanent. Every other thing is temporal. It will come and it will go. It will only be there for the time that God wants it to be there for, to fulfill the purpose God wants it to fulfill. Once the purpose is fulfilled and the time is gone, you know, all those things will just disappear. Well, they won't disappear. You know, I shared this last time. There's a law in physics, and it's not just physics. It's really a universal law, you know, that matter or energy is neither created nor destroyed. It is only transformed from one form to the other. There's a truth there, but the truth, the higher truth there is that The forms that remain permanent are the ones God says remains permanent. All other forms change with time. Everything you can see in this physical world is actually, you might not see it now, but it's actually moving at the subatomic level. There are very, very slight vibrations and movements, you know, and they're taking a particular configuration now because God has allowed it. With time, that configuration can change. And then they dissipate and form other things, you know. And you have this constant changing of things. But the things that are permanent are the things God says with his mouth are permanent. God is permanent. You know, the Bible says, of him, through him, and to him are all things. Then you and I, spirit beings that God created, you know, in his image and likeness, we're also permanent. God makes us permanent by his word, you know. And that's why even our rewards and things like that, you know, where we heaven and hell, God has decided to make them permanent. Those ones will be permanent. And that what you're doing now will determine your position, you know, and your place in the eternal drama, if I can use that word, in what is going to happen in eternity and where you will be. So it's very important, therefore, to have a great respect and honor for God and his word, knowing that it is God's word that actually is what God says. See, somebody was sharing the other day, and I liked it because I think I've said it before myself here. You know, I heard somebody say, he said, he didn't say God will not lie. He said God cannot lie. He didn't say God will not lie. He says God cannot lie. Now, I believe both of them are actually true. I believe God will not lie because God is not a deceiver and he's morally upright. You know, but right on the other hand, there's also the other aspect of that God cannot lie. If God says this thing, if this thing is yellow now and God says it's blue. Hello? Because God said it's blue, it will change from yellow to blue. Because God said it. Therefore, God cannot lie. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. So in a sense, because of the eternal nature and power of God's word, it is not possible for God to lie. If God says something, there is power in the word of God to make that thing a reality of what God said. So, technically speaking, God cannot lie. But although truly God will not lie, because God is a good God, you know, he will not contradict his word. He's what he has said, he will not, he says he has magnified his word above his name. Even when it's not convenient for him, God will still keep to his word of what he has said. He will not, you know, override his own word, you know. And so God is an honest and upright person. And we inherit all these same qualities from God as Christians. The seed, the sperm, the word of God that gets us born again contains all the virtues of God in a microscopic at a microscopic level, you know, and potentially, if you will allow it to grow and develop, it will produce everything God is. We know that from the physical. When a man and a woman come together and the woman gets pregnant, you know, with the seed, you know, the sperm of the man, it forms inside the woman's womb in the uterus wall, you know, a zygote. You know, it's a tiny little thing. It doesn't look like you at all. But everything about you is inside. And with time, over the next 9 months, as the woman eats and feeds, the thing begins to change, you know, and the head forms, the eyes form, the toes, the heart, all the different internal organs begin to form. And by the time the baby comes to what we call full term and is born, all the features of a full human being are inside, have been formed. And you can see, you know, the head, the eyes, the leg, and all of that. And then all it just has to do is grow to become a man, a full-grown woman, a full-grown man. But the point is that at the point of conception, the seed, the sperm, and the egg that is inside the woman, their DNA contain all the things that that person is ever going to become. It is exactly the same thing about the word God. When you get born again, everything about God is already inside you. All of the virtues, his holiness, his righteousness, his integrity, his wisdom, his power, it's all there. But just like it is in the physical, this is an amazing truth, parallel. If you don't feed it, if you don't develop it, you know, we know that it happens in the natural. Sometimes the egg or the fertilized something comes down. We say, you know, the woman has an abortion, you know, or you know, the child does not come to term, or something goes wrong, or one something doesn't form. The other day there was these two Siamese twins that were joined at the head, that they separated in New York. Thank God for that great scientific accomplishment. But that is a very rare thing, you know. These are the distortions we see in nature because of sin. You know, these are not things God designed. God made all things well, but Satan has distorted his influence, his negative influence, you know, in the physical body, in the earth, has distorted a lot of things. We must even thank God we don't see more of those things. You know why? Mercy. Turn to your neighbor, say mercy. Say his tender mercies are over all his works, even the sinners. If I see sinners come to and have normal children, nothing is wrong with them. It's not because they prayed. It's not because they bound the devil. Are you listening to me? It's just the mercy of God. And that's why the Bible teaches us. He says that, you know, God allows the sun to shine both on the good and the evil. He allows the rain. So the mercy of God, those are literal and symbolic. Literally, the rain comes on everybody. It doesn't distinguish between the sinner and the saints. The sun shines on everybody. It doesn't distinguish between the sinner and the saints. And then, you know, symbolically, you know, the life of God, the power of God, the goodness comes both on the good and the bad. That's why they exist. That's why they survive. That's why, you know, and the Bible now says this, and I think this is extremely important. I want to point out, the Bible says that, you know, you should let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. You know, when God is good to you, in spite of you, it should make you afraid. You know, you quickly want to change and do the right thing. You know, you don't want to take it for granted. Certainly, you cannot say it's my own righteousness that has got me this. Hello, somebody. And so, everything about God is inside the Word of God. The Word of God is living, it is powerful, it has the Zoe, it has the life of God inside it, you know, and it has the ability, inherent ability, to become what God has said it will be. It says, when the Gabriel appeared to Mary, in you know, and told her about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb, you know, when he ended, he says, for no word from God shall be void of power. If God said it, there's power inside that word to cause it to come to pass. However, like we've pointed out, there's still things we need to do to cooperate with God for that to be a reality in our experience, even this new birth. And that's why we start in chapter 2, in verse 1. He picks that same thought. I picked it by the Holy Spirit. I didn't even, you know, I didn't go and read chapter 2 to get, you know, this same thought, you know, about the birth. And look at what he says. Wherefore, anytime you say wherefore, find out what is wherefore, what is therefore. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, malice means ill will, all guile, guile means deception, or and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, I didn't hear you, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In other words, all that God potential that is inside you will only come to fruition if you do these things. If you desire the sincere milk of the word, and as you get more and more of the word, you lay aside all these things. If you don't lay aside these things, they can contaminate. Choke the word, so that even though the potential is there, it will not bring forth. Sadly, that is the experience of so many people. That's why you have all these kind of funny Christians all over the whole place. I call them funny Christians, you know, and I don't say it in a derogatory kind of way. You know, it actually hurts my heart because you actually see, you know, you say they're born again. But you still see all kinds of distortions. You see it in the natural. I just give that example of those Siamese twins. You know, if a woman is pregnant, pure pregnancy, correct, everything is right, she starts eating all kinds of funny things. you know, she doesn't go for antenatal clinic. She does not listen to the doctor. Doctor says, don't do that. Do this. Don't eat that one. And she said, no, I know better than the doctor. And eats what she likes. What's going to happen? The child will become abnormal. It will not develop the way it was designed to develop. That's why you have people being born with all kinds of distortions and all kinds of things, all kinds of malformations. Deficiency, you know, protein deficiency, you know, it affects the brain, it will affect all kinds of things. That is the sad commentary of what we see in the church today. You see all kinds of, they're Christians, quite all right. They're born of God, but you see all kinds of things that don't look like God at all inside them because of this truth. They did not desire the sincere milk of the word and did not lay aside ill will, hypocrisies, envies. And you know something about, there's a common thread in all those things. Do you know they didn't even talk about things like adultery and things like that? That's there, don't misunderstand me. But I want to bring something out here. Look at the things they were very specific. Malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speakings. What do you need to do all of these things? Your will. Check it out. You can't do... These are not things that you can just... You know, it just got the better of you. If you can choose, these particular faults, these particular lusts of the flesh. I don't know if I can do. You know, they are all connected to the human will. Malice is ill will. Ill will. You don't will good for somebody else. You have to make up your mind to do that. Guile. That's a typical Yoruba trait. Hello? Deception. Efile. And he doesn't mean it in his heart. There's something else inside his heart. But he speaketh fear. That one, you have to make up your mind to do it. It's an act of your will. Are you listening to me? Hypocrisy is an act of your will. Are you listening to me? Thank you. Go back to the Amplified. That's good. Grudges, envy, jealousy. You know, even if you see something in somebody else that is better than you, that negative feeling of envy comes. You know you can choose not to do it. You can choose and say, no. I thank God for that. God will give me my own in good due season. Thank God for them. Let me even learn what I can learn from them so that God can help me. You can choose to do that, or you can choose to envy. You can choose to, you know, all of them, every single one of these things, slander. Slander is speaking evil of other people. You know, especially when you know it's not true. And you want to just use it to bring them down in the eyes of somebody else. Hello, somebody. You know, evil speaking of every slander and evil speaking, you know, of every kind. These are things you must use your will to exercise. So you can actually use your will not to exercise them. He says you need to take these things away and get the word, then you will grow. Now, if these things are there, they will hinder growth. And sadly, and regrettably, you know, this truth is not emphasized that we have to use our will, you know, not to allow these things to flourish in our hearts. In fact, you know, I'll tell you another thing about these things. The Lord just bringing this to me. It's not even in my notes. You know, he just reminded me, you know, these things are hidden. Do you understand? They are not obvious, like adultery, like fornication, like murder, like theft. Do you understand? If somebody steals, everybody knows he stole. Is this clear? If somebody commits adultery, everybody, you have to do, there's an external action that shows you know, some of these other sins. But these ones are inside. A Kevin can be exciting them, you won't even know. Because he's smiling with you. That was the difference. That's what the Lord reminded me of. And I said it was not in my notes. Between Saul and David. That was the difference. The sins of David were very obvious and external. The sins of Saul were sins of the will, and they were internal. You won't see them. Stubbornness. Rebellion. They had to do with the will. Sure, David too, he had to do with the will. You know, he had to will to do what he did. But the thing about it is that this David's own, when he came out, everybody could see that he did it. How many people would say that Saul is stubborn? Nobody could say that. The only person that knew God Saul was stubborn was God. Because it was only God who knew what he had told Saul to do that Saul was not doing. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, not to the general people, is to him that it is sin. So the only person who will know if you are stubborn in some things is the God who told you to do it. And yourself. You can't, you know, an external person looking from the outside, especially if it is not an obvious moral thing. For example, if God says, I should give 1 million naira to Pastor Wale Adekoya, man is receiving it. That's the kind of message they like. Praise the Lord. Instantly the hand went up. He didn't even say it's an illustration. NLN. Praise the Lord. There is the word of the Lord. Marco Jamio Lugbala. Are you listening to me? Amen. You know, if God told me to do that, to give 1 million naira to Pastor Wale Adekoya, you know, only God and me know that. Pastor Wale even doesn't know. Because that one is not in the Bible. There's no chapter and verse that says, thou shalt give Wale Adekoya 1 million. I wish there was. You know, you'll be claiming it every day. Praise the Lord. But there's no scripture that says, give Wale Adekoya. It's not in the scripture. All the scripture just says is given and it shall be given unto you. Now that's a general thing. You know, it could be for Wale Adekoya, it could be for Wigadishu, it could be for Sarah Johnson or whoever. You understand? But the Holy Spirit now tells me in my own heart to give Wale Adekoya 1 million naira. Now I know to do that good. Now I now tell God, look, God, I don't have that kind of money. I have, but you know, I can't give Wale that kind of money. I needed to do some other things. Okay, and you know, I bind that devil in Jesus' name. And so on and so forth. Do you understand? To me, and every time I go to pray, I get that conviction. Hello? Every time I go to pray, I get that inner conviction. Do this. But I just... that's stubbornness. But nobody else will know. And so when you see me in church on Sunday and I say, praise God, sir, that's a wonderful brother. You know, whereas another brother, God forbid, you know, another person who maybe commits, maybe steals or something, say, that brother is a terrible brother, he stole something. But this other guy who God has told him to do something and he's not doing it is just as stubborn, sometimes even worse than the other guy who did something that's external. Am I talking to anybody here? In fact, these are the real killers. And they stunt spiritual growth. They stunt. They hinder growth. That's why you find people pray, 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 talk, 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 talk. They're not growing. Because the will acts like a trap door. You see, the will is like a door, an interface between your soul and your spirit. If the will is closed, no matter what is coming out of the spirit, it will not enter the soul. And of course, certainly not the body. So you can have somebody who is going through all the motions. I used to wonder about that thing many years ago. You know, I've been a pastor now for well over 30 years by the grace of God. You know, and I would see people who would pray, you know, the Pauline prayer, for example. God give me spirit of word, and they won't get revelation. You see another person who comes 3 years after them, those ones pray, within a few months they start getting it. You find this one, what is wrong? It's not, and I know it's not that they're not doing it. It's all the will. If any man will do his will, then will he know. If the will does not open, no matter how much light you are putting from the Spirit, the will acts like a barrier. The thing can't flow. That's why Peter, having been an elder for many years and a pastor and a shepherd, of God's people, after Jesus had died and gone to heaven, he said, lay aside. That is an act of your will. Lay aside all what? I didn't hear you. And oil and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. He's very specific. He goes to that, all of these are lusts of the flesh, but he goes to pick particular ones. He didn't just pick, it was not random. Praise the Lord. Because they will hinder growth. They will hinder spiritual growth. Never, never have ill will towards somebody. The Bible says, love doeth no ill to his neighbor. Always wish good for people. I want to say something that's very important here. Even when they don't deserve it. Shall I take a step further? Especially when they don't deserve it. Especially, when you know they don't deserve it, go to God and say, God, please just have mercy on them and help them. That's goodwill. Hello? Is goodwill towards the person. In other words, you want God to have mercy on the person and you want God to help the person in spite of the person. Trusting that God's mercy and goodness will bring them to repentance. This is what Paul was saying to Timothy when he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. He said, but be patient unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness, instructing those that they don't deserve it to. They are opposing themselves per adventure. God may grant them repentance unto the truth, to the acknowledgement of the truth, and deliver them from the snare of the devil who takes them captive at his will. But even in that case, God said, be trusting that in spite of all of that, God can still have mercy. That is goodwill. Let me say, the Holy Spirit just dropped something to me again. Again, this is not in my notes. That's why we preach by the Spirit, you see. Preparation is important, but when you get on the spot, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to be giving you what to say. He said, don't think about what you will say or what you say. At that time, the Father will give you what you say. It just dropped into my heart now. It's a very simple scripture. It's a scripture all of us know. And all of us, because we are born in the image and likeness of God, we should have this same disposition. Who is not willing that any should perish? But that's goodwill to all men. We're in the Christmas season now. Can you imagine how fast the year has gone? Are you listening to me? Amen? I didn't hear any amen. Hallelujah. You kept yourself from January to now, Abby. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. I'm going to see all of you on December 31. And I'm going to see all of you in January. You will live and you will not die. Are you listening to me? But to get back to what I'm saying, what the Bible says about God? He says he's not willing that who will have all men to be saved. That should be your will. That should always be your will. You should be like that. That should be the Holy Spirit. Just give me something else. He said that should be your own internal disposition. You should be like God. God is not willing that any should perish. So you too should not be willing that any should perish. Once you start willing that somebody else should perish, it's called malice. You are no longer thinking like God.
Once you start willing that somebody should not be saved, who will have all men to be saved? Once your will shifts from that divine will for goodness to all men, you've moved to Satan's territory. Because God is not like that. Now, how do you balance that? Do people go to hell? Of course they do. Does God punish people? Of course he does. Does God, does God chasten? Of course he does. Talking about that later on, my main message later today. You know, does God? He does. But it is not until after he has exhausted. You know, he said something to the Pharisees. I used to wonder about these boys. Take it from me, they were bad. They weren't just bad, they were bad. these guys were bad, really bad. Really, really bad. You know, they knew Jesus was Messiah. They were not deceived. Some of the common people didn't know whether he was a prophet, but these guys knew. They knew, and that's why he gave them that parable. He said there was a certain person who had a farm, a vineyard, and he gave it out to the people, and he sent his servants. One they killed, another one they stoned, they threw away, another. He said, finally, he said, I will send them my son. Peradventure, when they see him, they will change, They said that when the son came, they said, this is the heir. They knew who he was. He said, let us kill him that the inheritance may be ours. That's how bad these guys were. They knew. They weren't like the common people who didn't know. They knew what they were doing. And you know what the Lord Jesus said to them? And he was saying it from a wounded heart. You have to understand that. You see, God is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and God feels like we do. We're made in the image and likeness of God. He said to them, he said, you Pharisees and hypocrites, he said, you're vipers, you're serpents. He said all those things. Then he said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? You know what that tells me? He was still looking for a way of escape for them. As goodwill, as bad as they were, you serpents, generation of, how can you? He was still hoping against hope that something he would say or do will make them change their will. He said, "You strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel." He said, unto you have been delivered the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He said, you have not entered. Those who want to enter, you are hindering them. You lay heavy burdens on people and you will not with one finger lift them up. He was really mad at them, really angry with them. He said to them, you have omitted the weightier. Watch this. He said, you tithe anin. And coming and anise and cumin, he says, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Watch this. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. He didn't condemn them fully. He said, the one you are doing is not wrong, but you should have just done the whole thing. He was still looking for a way out. And I say this to the glory of God. I'm still growing and I continue to grow. Over the years, I have tried and I keep trying to exercise my heart in that. Whenever I have a situation about people, I'm always looking for the best way out. Believing the best and seeing if there is a way. Sometimes there is no. But at least that goodwill, you want to see what you can do to help the person the best. Because you are not willing that any should perish. You are not willing. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for a way to save them. In spite of them. I'm going to close this,
It's, you know, I'm not leaving this verse. I thought we would get there, but, you know, that's how the Holy Ghost does it, doesn't he? Amen. You know that it is one of the reasons, I have preached this before, I'm sure, you know, why God made outer court holy place, most holy place. If God made only most holy place, too many people will perish. So God said, okay, in the design, this was done ever before man was created. That's why he told, watch this, he said, Moses, make the tabernacle according to the pattern you see in the mount. The question is, when was the pattern drawn? When was the pattern of the tabernacle drawn? Before man was made. He has sent us the lamb slain before the plan was already made. God knows there will be people who, there could be people, so he made the provision, who will accept some but not accept everything. Say, okay, put them in outer court. They won't, at least they can't harm us. And we'll not give them glorified bodies. We'll put them somewhere. At the end of every year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, and if they will go to hell, they will look at the people there. Then anything that is doing them. I used to wonder about those scriptures. Why would God do that? Do you know that's in heaven? People are looking at me. Oh, yes. Give me Isaiah 66. They may not believe me. Hello, somebody. You believe, you don't believe. The word is there. Isaiah 66, I think it's verse... last verse of Isaiah 66. 24, I think it is. Isaiah 66, yeah. He said, and they shall go forth. No, before you go down, I'll go to verse 23. Ha. Uh-huh. Then go to verse 22. Ah, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, so shall your seed and your name remain. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me. This is in the new heaven and new earth. Next verse. And they shall go forth. Who are the they? The all flesh. Hello? Hello? The all flesh. And look upon the carcasses, that is the bodies, of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die. Eka. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not going there, so why worry? For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. It will make sure there will never be another rebellion. You know what? Even through eternity, man's free will not be taken away. To make sure. Well, you say from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath, they won't forget. So when you see, you'll be thanking God you're in the outer court and you're in heaven. And remember what these guys did that got them to where they are. Amen? So you wouldn't even want to go there. You know, but the guys who are at the throne, they don't need all this. And say, eternity is real. Eternity is real. The resurrection is real. The order and the glory of the resurrection is real. Fight for it now. Don't mortgage your destiny for a piece of pottage. Thank God for God. That's why he made outer court.
He made holy place. He made most holy place. And so when he told us that great parable, the parable of the sower, he says, if you understand this parable, say you understand all parables. He said, the seed brings forth some 30, some 60, some 100, categorizing, you know, the different levels of fruit bearing that Christians can have. Now, the choice of whether you're 30, 60 is yours. It's your choice. You can make a choice to be 60, you can make a choice not to be. You can choose choice to 100, you can make a choice not to be. You can make a choice of 30, you can make a choice, you know, just depends on, it all depends on your will. And what God wants to do now, and that's why he has people like me come to preach and teach the word of God, and like the Apostle Paul said, warning every man. A warning is not a curse, a warning is a warning. It's to help you so that the bad thing doesn't happen to you. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? A warning is not so that it's to make you feel bad or to depress you. It's to help you avoid something bad in front. Are you listening to me? So now what you need to do is do what the scripture says. Use your will for good. Be like God, not willing that any should perish, who will have all men to be saved. Be like God. Let your sun shine both on the good and the bad. You know, you have your own sun. Hello? Your sphere of influence. You are your own sun there. Do you understand? Be good to good, bad people too. Be kind to them. I got to close with that scripture. It's in Luke chapter 5. Where it says, be perfect even as your Father is perfect. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I think it's verse 45, but I'm not going to read from verse 45. I'm going to read from verse 44 and we'll close. From the earlier verses. Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke. I think it's chapter 5. Or it's either Matthew. It's either Luke or Matthew. Is what we call the Beatitudes. Is it Matthew? Matthew? No. Look at Matthew. Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 5. Thank you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew, this is 40, 45. Ah, good. Now go to 44. We can take it from here. But I say unto you, no, move back a little bit. Move to verse 43. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, great scriptures. 42. Good. 41. 40. Now we're getting it. This is goodwill. How to exercise it even when people don't deserve it. This is what we should be exercising our will in if we want to really grow spiritually. And if any man will sue you at the law. It wasn't you who sued them. It was them who sued you. And take away thy coat. Slap him. And take your coat back. To tell him that I'm not a fool. Hello? Is that what he said we should do? He said, give him the cloak also. You know what? God is going to give you 100 cloaks and 100 suits. Let him have it. Let him take the cloak. God is going to give you back 100 coats and 100 cloaks. You know, the coat and the cloak are not the same. Do you understand? The coat is the outer one. The cloak. He said, he said, take the other and give it to him. And see what? What is he saying? Avoid strife. Avoid ill will. Even if it costs you materially, let it cost you. God will give it back to you. That's why I went back. Verse 41. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, tell him, Otisumio. No, he said, go with him, twain. What are we exercising? Goodwill. It may be in that extra mile you go with him that God will save him. And he may not be saved, but at least you would have done your bit.
Next verse. Give to him. I didn't hear you. I will like our scripture. Give to him that asketh thee. Do I go give and it shall be given to you? This is everybody at the party. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Next verse. You have heard that it has been said, and it was Moses who said this, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I, verse 44, now this is New Testament. This is a higher level of operation. This is divine love. This is not human emotion. You don't behave like a human being. You are no longer, I was preaching to some young people over the weekend, you know, you are no longer men. Let me say it in a better way. You know, you are no longer mere men. You are still men. You are now God men. You are now men that are partakers of the divine nature. Stop behaving like a mere man. It is mere men that fight. It is mere men that, you know, quarrel about this and quarrel. Let him have it. I'm a divine man. Amen. For everyone you take away from me, I can create 20 more. Take it. It is mere men that love their enemies. Divine men. I like that. I like that. I've never heard it before. It's a beautiful expression. Divine men. They are men, but they have God inside them. They are God men. Jesus said, I said you are gods. That's a new title for you. Say, hi, divine man. Give me five, man. Hallelujah. Divine men love their enemies. They bless them that curse them. Mere men hate their enemies. Mere men curse those who curse them. But divine men do not do so. They love their enemies. They bless them that curse them. They do good to those that hate them. And they pray for them which despitefully use them and persecute them. What are we exercising here? Don't let's forget where we're coming from. Goodwill. You keep exercising your will for good. When it's deserved and when it is not deserved. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is Christianity. Allowing the divine nature and the divine character to dominate the human one. You don't behave like a mere man. Like a mere man. Verse 45, and I close. That ye may be. The children of the Most High. That's your neighbor. You're already children of the Most High. You're born again. Amen. It's not doing this that's going to make you born again. But when you do these things, it will now show the other people who you really are. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he, don't your neighbor say he who? Say he God. Maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So you should be like that. Let your own sun shine on the good and the bad. Let your own rain on the good and the bad. Verse 46. No, I gotta stop. Are you listening to me? He said, this is what God wants us to do. And that's why you need to exercise your will with the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, the blood, the word, and the spirit. You exercise your will in goodwill. In goodwill. In goodwill. Towards those that deserve and towards those that don't deserve. Then it will become obvious to everybody that you're a child of God. Even your enemies will not be able to say you are not a child of God. That ye may be, or that it may be made manifest that you are children of the Most High. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. talk to God. Lay aside all malice, guile, deceptions, hypocrisies, envy, evil speaking, slander, and then desire the sincere meal so that you can grow. If you're not growing spiritually, go and check all those things. Have you laid them aside? And you laid them aside as an act of your will. Then you exercise these other things. Don't behave like a mere man. Start behaving like a divine man. Yes, you're a man. Just like Jesus was a man. Jesus was God that became man. He was a God man. We now become men God. We are men that will now become partakers of the, that have now become, excuse me, partakers of the divine nature. Talk to God this morning. Stop behaving like a mere man. People will not be able to tell the difference. Yes, you are born again on the inside, but nobody knows the difference on the outside. Until you start behaving like this, then they will now know you are children of the Most High. And you cannot do it in the natural. You got to use the power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. Use the blood. Use the word. The life of God. The power of the Spirit of God. He will give you the wisdom to discern what God will do in that situation. He'll give you the compassion to feel what God is feeling. He'll give you the power to do what God would do at that moment in time. Then the people start saying, that person is a child of God. Even your detractors. The Bible says in 1 Peter, in somewhere in Peter, 1st or 2nd Peter, I can't remember exactly where, you know, it says that they glorify God in the day of their visitation. They will praise God. So it was actually God talking to me through that person. It was actually God. They will not accept at that time, but the Bible says they will glorify God in the day of their visitation. Having your conversation, thank you for picking that scripture, honest among the Gentiles, whereas they may speak evil against you as evildoers, but they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. There is a longing only you can feel, a raging tempest only you can still. Oh Lord, my soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I'm known.
Drink from the river
that flows
before your throne.
There is a longing. Start again.
My soul is thirsty.
As we pray and we respond to the word always demands a response of the human will. We say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God, so that the life of God can flow maximally into our spirits to cause our prayers to avail much. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me this morning, reminding me that to grow spiritually, I need to exercise constantly goodwill to all men, laying aside all malice, all guile and deception, all hypocrisies, all envies, all evil speaking and slander, and desiring the sincere milk of your word to enable me grow spiritually. Father, afresh today, I determine in my heart, backed by your mercy and grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, to always exercise my will in goodwill to all men. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing for bad things to happen to people, but rather to exercise your wisdom and your power and your mercy and your goodness to allow good to come to them, even when they don't deserve it, that peradventure, that goodness of God will lead them to repentance. Help me to exercise this daily in my interactions with all men, both saints and sinners, in Jesus' name. Amen. Neka toloma toloma tufri de frish. Lika toloma stufri diga toros. Zefriki toloman shalangars. Zefriak tolomosh. Lambrigi tusko frenes. Lambrigi tusko fridia. Lambrga toloma 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 tufri 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 shi. Zefri toloma toloma ngoro. Lambrga tusko fres. Zofridia, Langara Catolo, Lapricitusco Frenes, Lambricatolo Mosha, Zelepricitu Frenes, Lambricamatulo Mosho Fres, Lambricitolo Moshaka, Lambricamatulo Motulo Motulo Motufri du Frisigardo Clomatu Frese, Zafrica Clomatulo Motulo Mosho Fre, Zofria Clomatulo Mostu Frenes, Tufrines, Ziki Tufrines, Zufridilis, Nengardaras, Tusco Frenes, Tolomangaras, Jiki tu frenes, tulumangaras, tulumangurus, jiki tu frenes, zolomaras, tu frenes, zefridis, tulumaska, jiki tu frenes kala, nenga tusku frenes, in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name we have life. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. And Lord God, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a lot of super clap off. Hallelujah.